can receive from your messenger the word of God. Thank you, Lord. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. We're going to ask all of our children to quietly stand and be dismissed to children's worship. Dios les bendiga, hermanos. God bless you. Our children can quietly be dismissed as they go prepare for children's worship.
Amen. Amen. If you'll open your Bible to Psalm 73, el Salmo 73, un salmo que es muy importante en el vocabulario de cada cristiano. It's important that we know and we understand this psalm, and I'll be in the entire psalm today. So when you find Psalm 73, if you would stand with me as we read this scripture today. This psalmist is speaking to us today about envy. Y lo que el Señor va a hablar a nosotros es de la envidia. La envidia es muy peligroso. Puede destruir vidas y familias y iglesias y ciudades. Psalm chapter 73 in verse 1. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And they have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from common burdens. They are not plagued by human ills. And therefore pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts come iniquity. Their evil imaginations have no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. With arrogance they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven. Their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, how would God know? Does the Most High know anything? This is what the wicked are like. Always free of care, they go on amassing wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishments. If I had spoken out like that, I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply till I entered the sanctuary of God, and then I understood their final destiny. Surely you placed them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. They are like a dream when one awakes. When you arise, Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved, when my spirit embittered, I was senseless and arrogant. I was like a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you, and you hold me by right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterwards you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth, nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge, and I will tell of all your deeds. Y en verdad, cuán bueno es el Señor con Israel, con los puros de corazón. Yo estuve a punto de caer, y poco me faltó para que resbalara. Sentí envidia a los arrogantes, a ver la prosperidad de esos malvados. Ellos no tienen ningún problema. Su cuerpo está fuerte y saludable. Libres están de los afanes de todos. Y no les afectan los infortunios humanos. Por eso lucen su orgullo como un collar. Y hacen gala de su violencia. Están que revienten de malicia. Y hasta se les ven sus malas intenciones. Son burlones, hablan con dobles y arrogantes, oprimen y manejan, con la boca increspan el celo, con la lengua dominan la tierra. Por eso la gente acude a ellos y cree todo lo que ellos afirman. Hasta dicen, ¿cómo puede Dios saberlo? ¿Acaso el Altísimo tiene entendimiento? Así son los impios, sin afanarse, aumentan sus riquezas. Vamos a orar. Señor, en esta mañana yo quiero ver, Señor, tu esplendor aquí.
Como el salmista dice, tenía la batalla en su corazón y en su mente a ver las riquezas de lo demás. A veces, Señor, sufrimos, Señor, en nuestra propia mente. Estamos encadenados, Señor, a cada lado, Señor, de nuestros sentimientos. Ayúdanos, Señor, por medio de su palabra, Señor, a hacer la operación en nuestro corazón, para que nos podamos ser libres, Señor, en esta mañana. Y ayúdanos, Señor, de ser ejemplos a nuestros jóvenes. Ayúdanos, Señor, de enseñar a nuestros hijos en la próxima generación. Father God, I pray you help us, Lord, to teach the next generation about what your word teaches us this morning, and be models and examples. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Last week we spoke about how it is easy for us as parents to turn the ministry of our children over to other people, whether it be youth leaders, whether it be the church or the pastor. Sometimes we think by sending our children to Christian schools, they will get the word of God and that they will grow spiritually. But the scripture teaches us that we as parents are the number one imparters of wisdom. Es nuestra responsabilidad, hermanos. Somos el primer y único lugar, los únicos personas que pueden compartir y pasar sabiduría a la próxima generación. That's what we talked about last week, but today I want to talk about the number one killer, about relationships that we have with young people and between our generations, and that is envy. La envidia, hermanos, pueden destruir vidas, romper corazones, y destruir almas. Envy has become so powerful and so prevalent in our culture and our community. Some would say that the internet drives our economy and it drives our community, but I would say no, envy drives the internet, because that is all that we see out there. Many of the young people say to youth leaders and youth ministers, they made the statement in which they said, I wish that my parents would be more concerned about the issues that I am going through as much as they are concerned about my personal salvation. Y los jóvenes están diciendo, ojalá que mis padres sienten el mismo sentido de lo que yo estoy pasando en mi vida, igual de lo que ellos están preocupados con mi salvación. And so parents, we want you to understand today that as this psalmist wrestles with envy, young people wrestle with envy as well, exactly in the same way. And young people, I want you to understand that your parents struggle with envy. They did when they were your age, and they still are today. Y en primer lugar, tenemos que entender, hermanos, que el envidia es natural. Es parte de nuestro ser, es parte de ser humano. Como humanos somos débiles. Como humanos, nuestra vida es tan difícil. Y al ver otras personas que tienen situaciones más mejor con nosotros, causa este tipo de envidia. So when we see people who seem to be better than we are in one way or another, it might be financially, physically, health-wise, that we begin to feel that we should be like them. ¿Y quién es el culpable cuando no sentimos este tipo de justicia? Es el Señor, es Dios. Y comenzamos a maldecir al Señor. Señor, tú no me estás bendecido. No estoy recibiendo la bendición como ellos están recibiendo la bendición. Es lo que nuestros padres están sintiendo hoy en día. So our parents are feeling this. And young people, in the same way, every day when they go to school, they see people in their class who making good grades seems easy to them. Having money seems easy to them. Selling drugs seems easy to them. They'll never get caught. They'll never be in any bad situation. They throw parties every weekend. They're very popular. That seems like there are other people who have no worries, no fears, and no frustrations. And yet, day to day, we're going through these feelings where the enemy, it's part of our enemy, it's part of the flesh, and it's part of the world, but there was this constant beat down on us because we feel that we are entitled to something else that we do not have. And the one who always gets blamed is God himself. Dios es castigado por medio de nosotros cuando pasamos en estos sentimientos.
Well, first thing we need to understand, parents, is that we need to understand that what your child feels and what your child goes through is very, very important. These feelings are normal and natural. Para nosotros como padres, es fácil decir, it's okay, get over it. No te preocupas por eso. No, you just do your studies, you just do your work, everything will be fine. But yet we are constantly bombarded with these feelings, and our young people don't know what to do with these feelings because every day, it seems that there are people who are a lot nicer, a lot healthier, a lot cleaner, a lot richer, and everything seems to be going their way. But what is it that is happening? I want you to draw your attention to Psalm 73, and then in verse 1, he says, "Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart." I want you to notice this phrase here, pure in heart, and God is good to Israel. That is the presupposition. And hermanos, you need to understand that God is good. He's good to you. He's good to your family. He's good to you and your situation. El Señor es bueno a ti, es bueno a su familia, Él es bueno a nuestra iglesia, Él es bueno a su pastor, Él es bueno a su suegra. El Señor es bueno. God is good, and when you look at the nature and the character of God and his faithfulness to Israel, we understand 110% that God is good. And then in verse 2, he throws that word but. Cuando él hace, cuando el salmista comienza con esta palabra en versículo 2, es un contraste. Versículo 2 dice, yo estuve a punto de caer y poco me faltó para que resbalara. He says, but as for me, my feet had almost slipped. God is good. He's good to Israel, but for me, I was in a very bad situation with God. Para el salmista, cuando él dijo, pero para mí, en mi situación, yo estaba a punto de caer. ¿Por qué? Porque yo vi las personas, los enemigos de Dios y su prosperidad. Y si, porque sentí envidia de los arrogantes a ver la prosperidad de estos malvados. He said, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And hermanos, we have got to teach our young children from infancy, from babies, from those grade school through high school, that forever how difficult it is, we are not to envy anything else that anybody has. Because if you start down that road, there is no end to it. When you begin to look at their riches, when you look at their job, when you look at their income, then you start looking at their clothes, and you start looking at what they drive, and you start looking at where they live, and then you start looking at their grandparents, and you look at their friends, and you look at all these things. When envy begins, envy never ends. And it pushes you farther and farther and farther away from God. Sí, hermanos, existe la prosperidad de otras personas, pero el Señor tiene algo para nosotros por fe. See, we have to understand and believe that God has something for us because God is good. God does not lie. God does not change his mind. He blesses us in different ways, and he blesses us in ways that are eternal, that last a whole lot longer. And he blesses us in ways that we can actually sleep peacefully at night. There are people who have a lot more things than us, but they can't sleep at night. Dice la escritura que cuando uno no puede dormirse a la noche es porque ellos siempre están preocupando por algo, algo material mismo. So within this materialistic sense in which they feel, they are always worried and always concerned. So how do we deal with this prosperity? The way, hermanos, that you deal with prosperity is you teach your people, and we have to practice this ourselves, is character.
La manera, hermanos, que nos podemos combatir contra envidia es carácter. Carácter. Aunque no tenemos mucho, tenemos poco. Hemos ganado esto, lo que tenemos, en una manera que es correcto, una manera que es justo, una manera que es sano. Hermanos, we need to understand, for all, speaking to the adults here, we need to be content with the salaries that we make. We need to be content with the cars that we drive, content with the houses that we live in, content with our wives who are graciously putting up with us. We are got to have a spirit of content, a heart of content, and a heart of joy. Because there are others who have other things, but they did not get it in an honest way. And when you live dishonestly, hermanos, when you do not live honestly but dishonestly, you get yourself into all kinds of trouble. Es importante, hermanos, que el carácter es lo que uno hace en privado. Y cuando uno hace de esta manera en privado, lo que él hace en público es el mismo. To have character is to have a set of things that you honor, things that you work for, things that you live by, and people will judge you for those, but you say, I'm going to honor God in my heart and in my life. I'm not going to rob, I'm not going to steal, I'm not going to lie, I'm not going to cheat. I'm going to have my personal integrity. And when God sees our heart that is set on these things, that is when God begins to bless, because God cannot put blessings on top of a shaky foundation. El Señor no puede bendecir a nosotros cuando nuestra fundación es corrupta. Cuando nuestra fundación es lleno de pecado, lleno de mentira, ¿cómo es que el Señor puede bendecir a nosotros? So we have to ask ourselves. So, hermanos, we need to understand and teach to our young people. It looks good, it looks easy, it looks free, it looks like they're having fun. But that's not reality. That is not life. That is not the way life works. And so our young people will say, oh, yes, it is, because I saw them with that money. Oh, yes, it is, because I saw how popular they are. Oh, yes, it is, because I saw how much fun they're having, and I'm not having fun. All you ever make me do is go to church, 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 church. That's all that I hear. Well, that's okay. Because what we're trying to do in church is we're trying to build that foundation. Parents, you need to understand in your children that character is everything. That don't teach your children never to lie in any way in any situation. I was having a good conversation with one of our members, and we were talking about adultery. We were talking about fornication. We were talking about sexual immorality and how prevalent it is in our society. Cuando uno habla y piensa en sexo de moralidad sexual y la manera que siempre hay este tipo de pecado alrededor de nosotros. And as we were talking about it, it dawned upon me that adultery is never on my mind. And I don't think that the enemy could ever dissuade me or destroy me by adultery. Yo creo, hermano, sinceramente que yo no puedo cometer adulterio. Y el enemigo no me puede tentar ni hacer esto, nada de esto, porque yo he decidido en mi corazón varias cosas. Pero sí, hermanos, yo como cualquier otro humano, yo puedo cometer adulterio. Porque el adulterio comienza, hermanos, en la mente y en el corazón. See, adultery, the Bible teaches us, starts in the heart and it starts in the mind. So when someone is happily married, but his eyes start wandering, comienza con los ojos, siempre mirando poquito más, comienza en los ojos, y luego comienza una plática, ¿cómo estás? Platicando con una persona que uno no puede platicar ni mirar. Talking with someone that you should never be looking at, you're married over here, but you start looking over there. You start talking over there, then you start with the side hug, then you start with the front hug, then you start with the holding hands in prayer, of course, then you start with the texting at night, and then before that, you start with the meeting, and then you start with the conversation, and then that is what leads to adultery. Why? Because adultery begins in the heart and the mind long before it is ever committed. Hermanos, that is what character is.
Hermanos, esto es lo que es el carácter y tenemos cada uno de nosotros, sea joven o adulto, tenemos que guardar nuestro carácter.
We have to every day guard our character and not seeing or looking at or talking or texting to anybody who is not the one that God has for us, the one who God has called us to do. And so when we begin living and acting this, we have committed adultery a long, long time ago before it has even started. Hermanos, that is the character that we must teach our children.
Y todo comienza, hermanos, en envidia. Cuando los jóvenes ven, oh, pues ellos tienen ese tipo de carro, ellos tienen el Camaro.
They have a Camaro over there. And, you know, my parents, we drive a Honda, and we have to show up in that. And they start looking, and they start thinking, and they start believing and fantasizing and doing all of these things. And, hermanos, that's where it's your job and my job to really have those heart-to-hearts, talk with our children, and say, do you know, it takes hard work to maintain this car. God blessed us with this car. I love this car. It's practical. It's useful. I don't have a high insurance payment. And explain the whole nine yards. Develop that relationship with your children to teach them character.
Tan importante, hermanos, es los jóvenes de entender lo que es carácter. Sí, no parece que es grande, no parece que es el más mejor, el más nuevo, pero sabes que es mío. Y el Señor me da este regalo de Él, esta bendición. Y vamos a celebrar por esto. Vamos a celebrar por lo que el Señor está haciendo en nuestra vida.
It's all about character. Notice that the psalmist in verse 6 points out their pride, their arrogance, their violence, their callous hearts, their iniquity.
Hermanos, es nuestro trabajo de enseñarles que estos tipos de personas tienen un corazón que es perversa. Tienen un corazón que es duro. Ellos no tienen oídos para escuchar la palabra del Señor ni tampoco sentir el Espíritu Santo moviendo en sus vidas.
So he says, look at the people, look at the reality. Notice in verse 9, their mouths lay claim to heaven. They come across as knowing God and following God and talking about God. And because they have money, because they have riches, we think that God has blessed them and that they know more about God than we know about God.
Manos, esta envidia comienza en el corazón y comenzará a crecer hasta que no creemos en Dios jamás.
We stop believing in God. We stop trusting God when envy has so overtaken our hearts and our minds that we feel that God just doesn't love us anymore. And that now these people who don't know God begin to speak for God. So parents, I want to encourage you, share with your children the same struggles that you felt when you were their age. Let them know that you're human too, and let them know that you're still struggling with envy.
Que todavía, hermanos, envidia es real y es una batalla a nosotros los adultos también, hasta los jóvenes.
Ellos necesitan que ustedes estén a su lado, brazo a brazo con ellos, caminando, platicando, orando juntos para que el enemigo no se meta ningún dedo en nuestra familia ni tampoco en nuestra iglesia.
You know, if you do not help your children to deal with envy, they will grow up being arrogant, expecting everything for free, expecting that they shouldn't have to work for things, expecting that our government and our culture and societies just provide everything for them automatically, that they shouldn't have to go to class and actually study, that they shouldn't have to go to come home and actually work around the house. Why? It's because they feel, because of envy, that other people have nice things, that they should just wait around until those nice things come to them. And hermanos, that is exactly what the enemy wants for us. He wants us to leave our children in a situation, in a place where they believe that they are entitled. And they are ungrateful and unthankful to you, to God, and unthankful for what they have. What kind of culture and generation are we having? So he says the next thing is that we are to help them through the battle of doubts. Notice what he says in verse 10. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure, and I have washed my hands in innocence. I love Frankie's testimony. He said, you know, I was waiting for that scholarship. I didn't get it. Maybe I made a mistake. Maybe I made a decision to follow God too quickly. Maybe this isn't the right school for me. Maybe God really doesn't love me. Maybe God has given up on me. How many a young person has not felt that? How many of you adults are not going through that even today with your job and with your work? I didn't get the promotion. I didn't get the raise. I'm stuck in this job I don't like. I'm doing things I don't want to do. Maybe, surely, God has forsaken me. And maybe all this church stuff and all these things I've been doing good doesn't count and doesn't mean anything. And Manos, I've been there. You've been there. We've all been there. And the psalmist has been there. The psalmist lays out his heart and he lays out his soul. Surely in vain, verse 13, I've kept my heart pure and I've washed my hands in innocence. All day long I've been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishments. If I had spoken out like that, I would have betrayed your children. He even feels guilty that he didn't even say that. He feels guilty that he doubts God, and then he feels guilty that he didn't tell other people that they shouldn't be doubting God as well. This poor guy. When I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply till I entered the sanctuary of God, and then I understood their final destiny. Hermanos, how do we help our children deal with envy? The psalmist says, until I entered the sanctuary of God, until I went to church and heard the word of God, and I began getting my spiritual life together, I began getting my relationship with God back together again. Hermanos, do you know what worship is? ¿Sabe usted, hermanos, lo que es adoración? Adoración no solo es canto. Adoración solo no es ir a la iglesia. Adoración no solo es levantar las manos o cantar o lo que sea. Adoración, hermanos, es algo personal y profundo. Worship is something that is deep, and it is something that is profound. Going to church doesn't make you worship. But because you are a worshiper, you go to church. Worship is something that happens in the heart. When you're able to come before God and bring your emotional distress, your problems, your fears, your frustrations, and you come before the Lord, doesn't matter who's singing or what song it is, but you come before God and you say, God, all that I have is yours. I'm trusting you for my future, even though my kids are sick. Even though it looks like I'm going to lose my job, even though it looks like my car is going to break down, that check engine light's been on for 6 months, I don't know how long I'm going to have with this thing, but Lord, I will worship you, and I will give thanks in the sanctuary, and I will proclaim to my children and my children's children the faithfulness of the God in Israel. Es cuando una persona rinde todo su corazón al Señor, y dice, aunque yo no entiendo toda la solución a mis problemas, yo entiendo que hay un Dios que yo sirvo y que este Dios es bueno. Y su voluntad es bueno para mí. Y yo voy a confiar en el Señor, aunque todo parece muy difícil, aunque todo parece imposible. Yo voy a confiar en este Señor. El Señor de mis padres, el Señor de mis tíos, el Señor de mis amigos, el mismo Señor que ha sido fiel a cada uno de nosotros. Hermanos, enseñen sus hijos a confiar en el Señor. Confiar en el Señor. When they come to you and they say, Dad, I want one of those things that all the kids have at school. You just be honest, I don't have the money for all that. But you know what? Let's pray. And let's see what we can do. Maybe we can find something on the internet. Maybe we can work together. Maybe we can build one. Maybe we can find the money somewhere. Maybe we can just pray about it. I mean, let's see, we're in this thing together. I don't have the job. I don't have the money. And if I did have the money, I don't even know if I would pay that much for it. Surely let's keep working around. Let's wait. But let's be in this thing together. It's nice to have nice things, but it's even better when we understand that the nice things come from the Lord. Hermano, es bueno tener cosas buenas, pero es más mejor cuando entendemos que todo cosa que es bueno viene del Señor. Amen. Y esa es la estrategia, hermanos, del enemigo. Cuando el enemigo mete en nuestra cabeza de lo que tú tienes, no es bueno. Dios no es bueno. Dios no es fiel. Dios no está a su lado. And that's what the enemy is trying to say. So we need to help our young people through the battle of doubt. We do that by being honest. Sometimes we wonder, I doubt that this plan is going to work. But you know what? It's the plan that God gave me. I'm going to keep trying it, and I'm going to keep trying it, and I'm going to keep trying it again and again. And then lastly, teach them to seek and to cling to God. Verse 23, yet I was always with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me in your counsel, and afterwards you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you, and earth? Nothing I desire besides you. Mira la manera que el corazón del salmista cambió. His heart totally changed. He said, God is good, but I did some bad things, and I didn't trust. But now at the end of the psalm, he returns back, and he says, whom have I in heaven but you? What do I have here on earth? There is nothing that I desire on earth. And that's what we want our young people to be, and that's really where we want our adults to be. That there is nothing on earth that I desire apart from seeing God in my life. How many of you have prayed that you're in a bad job situation? God, I want you to show up at my job. You're in a bad marriage situation. God, I want you to show up in my marriage. At school is getting tough and it's getting impossible. The studies, the grades, the bills, all of these things. And you say, God, I need you to show up in my education plan. When you walk into those spheres, you're a single person, and you say, where's my spouse? Where is my mate? When is God going to do these things? And you say, God, I need you to be central in my love life and in my social life. And you say, God, I need you to be in the middle of all these things. I need you to guide and direct the desires of my heart. I need you to guide my desires, my hopes, and my visions and my fears. Señor, yo te necesito. Y yo tengo que enseñar a mis hijos a buscar a ti en la mañana, buscar a ti en mediodía, buscar a ti y comenzar que el altar de mi Señor sea mi propio corazón. Y aprender lo que es de dar gracias al Señor en cada circunstancia. Tenemos que enseñar a nuestros hijos a buscar al Señor, buscar al Señor en su escuela, en su familia, en su situación. Y para mí también. Yo le animo, hermanos, de buscar a Dios en cada situación. So, hermanos,